Well, good morning, everyone. It's a great joy to be here with you in Newcastle. I want to thank Dan for his welcome here. And I want to say again just what a privilege and a joy it has been to spend this weekend with you, ministering God's word and talking about the things of God and enjoying your hospitality. So thank you for this opportunity. We've been thinking together over the course of our away day about the doctrine of perseverance, about how every single Christian, without exception, will inevitably persevere as a Christian and make it to heaven in the end. And yesterday we saw how we can look at this doctrine of perseverance from two different perspectives, from two sides, if you like. There is God's part in the doctrine of perseverance, and there is our part. We thought, first of all, yesterday, about what God does. He upholds us. He preserves us. He keeps us so that we do not fall away. We saw that it is the Lord's purpose to save every single one of his people without any of them falling away. We have seen that God has pledged to do this, that he's promised this, and that he has given us an ironclad guarantee, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who indwells every Christian. That is God's pledge. That is God's guarantee that we will receive our inheritance. We saw also that all of God's mighty power, the power that created the universe in 6 days, the power that sustains the universe moment by moment, the power that, as we were thinking about in our first prayer this morning, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power is directed into keeping you and me so that we persevere and make it to heaven. And we saw that Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, is at the right hand of the Father, praying day and night for every Christian that we will persevere. So all of that is looking at the doctrine of perseverance from God's perspective, how God preserves his people, how he upholds us with his righteous right hand so that we keep on going and make it to heaven. But then we also looked at the doctrine from our perspective. We thought about what it is that we have to do as believers, and we have to persevere. We have to keep on going. God doesn't do the persevering for us. God doesn't believe for us. God doesn't obey for us. We have to do the hard work of running the Christian race. We have to persevere in prayer. We have to persevere in mission. We have to persevere in worship. We have to persevere in the sacraments. We have to persevere in all the different means of grace that God has given to us. And I don't know how you felt, those of you who were there yesterday at the away day. It's possible, I suppose, that you went away at the end of the day feeling just a little bit discouraged, because the last thing we thought about was our part and all these things that we have to persevere in as believers. And we were thinking about how difficult it is and how demanding it is and how arduous it is to keep on going, how it taxes every last ounce of strength that we have in perseverance. God upholds us, yes. We can never fall away if we belong to him, but it is hard work to persevere. And in fact, a couple of people were saying about just some of the challenges that they particularly have found in perseverance, particularly persevering in praying for those members of our families, those friends, those loved ones who are not Christians. And what a burden that is for us, isn't it? Year after year after year, persevering, praying for people and seeing no change whatsoever. And there are no easy answers, are there? Perseverance is hard work. Perseverance is all about keeping going over the long haul when perhaps there aren't any obvious signs of things changing. I don't have any easy answers, but what I do want to do this morning is to point to two or three encouragements to persevere that we find in God's Word. Some practical things that God's Word tells us to do to help us to keep on keeping on. The Lord knows that we need help in this. He remembers that we're dust. He understands how often we feel like giving up. And so I want to give three helps in perseverance as we find them in three different places in God's Word this morning. So here's the first one. Follow good examples. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. One thing that will help you to persevere in the Christian life is to follow good examples. Dan read these verses earlier, but let's just read again these three verses. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Good role models are essential, aren't they, in every part of life. That's one of the reasons why God sets children in families. It's so that our children can learn from us as parents how to be human beings, what it means to live as a human being, how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to witness, how to keep the Lord's Day holy, how to live a godly life. Our children are meant to learn these things by watching us, their parents, and following our example. Apprentices have masters from whom they learn their trade. Students have tutors and mentors. And when it comes to perseverance, God has given us, his people, many, many good examples. A great cloud of witnesses, in fact. You remember how Hebrews 12, verse 1 comes after that great catalogue of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And the thrust of chapter 12, verse 1 really is something like this. Since we're surrounded by so many other saints who have persevered, let us, in our turn, for our part, persevere in the same course. It's the imagery of a great athletics stadium. And you and I are down there on the track, slogging our guts out, running the Christian race. It's hard work. It's not a particularly nice day. There's a headwind, and perhaps we're on the point of quitting, dropping out. But then we look up, and we see that the stands all around the stadium are crammed with spectators, and they're urging us on. And they're saying, don't give up. Keep going. You can do it. You can finish the race. You don't need to drop out. How do they know? Because they have done it themselves. They have run the race. They have stood where we stand now. They have finished the course, and they know that it can be done. Well, you say, that's all right for them, but it's much, much harder for me. my life is really very difficult. And they didn't have to face the trials that I face. Really? Just look at what we're told about some of these witnesses. Look back to chapter 11 and verse 35. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You really think that your life is worse than that? That the afflictions that you have to endure are more severe than that? Here are people who know about perseverance. They have gone through the kinds of ordeals that you and I have nightmares about. And they're saying to you and to me this morning, we know how hard it can be to keep on running, to keep on going in the Christian life. We know how much it takes to keep on believing and to keep on trusting. But we did it. And you can do it as well. And they're testifying to you and to me that we can do it. They're proof that we can do it. Not because they were great, not because they had these amazing personalities and these superhuman resources of strength, but because they were empowered and upheld by the same right hand of the same God who is upholding you and me. But of course, our best example in perseverance is the Lord Jesus himself. And that's where the writer directs our attention particularly. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. And Paul does the same thing in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5, where he prays this prayer: may the Lord direct your hearts into the perseverance of Christ. He wants the believers in Thessalonica to meditate on the perseverance of Christ. He wants them to let it percolate down into their hearts and their minds and their souls. Think about the perseverance of Christ. And that's what we need to do as well. And we need to remember that Jesus was fully human. He was a man like you and me. He had the same physical sensations, the same physical limitations that we have. He was tempted in every single way. And yet, he persevered. He never once sinned. He endured to the end of his race. So, direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ especially. When you feel utterly exhausted after a hard day of work, after a hard week of work, and you don't feel like praying because you're too tired, direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ. You remember Mark chapter 1. Jesus has been ministering in a village, a long Sabbath days, preaching and healing. After sunset, the whole town has arrived at Peter's door to bring the sick to Jesus. Jesus is healing and teaching late into the night. And then we read in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Very early, in the middle of the night, when it was still dark, Jesus gets up to pray. It's not that he didn't get tired because he was the Son of God. He was absolutely shattered. He hasn't stopped, but he knew that he needed to pray. And so whenever you feel too tired to pray, too tired to have your quiet time, too tired to come out to the evening service or the church prayer meeting, when you're tempted not to go, direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ. Remember the perseverance of Christ. When you feel like giving in to temptation, when everything within you is urging you to give in, when there's nobody around to see, direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ. When all your body and your mind is screaming out for the satisfaction that that particular sin promises, direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ. Remember Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Matthew 4, verses 2 and 3. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus has gone without food here for almost 1.5 months. And the devil comes to him and says, "You're hungry, Jesus." That's not a problem. Because if you're God's son, then you can turn these stones into bread. You shouldn't have to be hungry, Jesus. You don't have to be hungry, Jesus. It's not good that you should be denying yourself this pleasure. Do a miracle and feed yourself. It seems very reasonable what the devil's saying. It's certainly very attractive. The Lord's stomach would have been crying out for food. They're out in the desert. Who's to know? Who's going to see? But Jesus resists the temptation. Sin is always sin, no matter what the mitigating circumstances might be. God's eyes are in every place, and Jesus is determined that he is going to persevere and to honor his Father. And whenever you are tempted, and you feel like giving in, and your flesh is weak and crying out for this sin, direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ. Perhaps sometimes you're tempted to give up the Christian life because of persecution. Remember the perseverance of Christ. Maybe it's very hard for you to be a Christian in the place where you are, in your school, or in your college, or in your place of work. Maybe you're surrounded by coarse language and filthy jokes. Maybe you're constantly on the receiving end of insults and mockery. Maybe you're the only Christian in the whole place and you feel terribly isolated and vulnerable. And every day is a battle for you to keep going. And you think to yourself, that little voice inside your head comes and says to you, "Wouldn't it be so much easier if you weren't a Christian? Wouldn't life be so much easier in this place?" Perhaps the other members of your family aren't Christians, and they're antagonistic to your faith, and they're always making fun of the things that you hold so precious, and they blaspheme your Savior, and they pour scorn and contempt on these truths that you hold dear. Direct your heart into the perseverance of Christ. Remember that he knows all about persecution. He knows what it feels like to be the target of hatred and anger and contempt. He knows what it feels like to be the butt of jokes, to be on the receiving end of cruel, cutting insinuation and snide remarks. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood even by the members of his own family. You remember that incident in Mark 3? Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." His family thought he was out of his mind. He knows what it feels like to be regarded as a religious lunatic, as a fanatic by his own family. We're told that his own brothers didn't believe that he was the Christ until after the resurrection. And yet, in spite of all that constant, unremitting persecution, Jesus persevered. He didn't give up. And nor should we. Jesus is the supreme example of perseverance. But he's more than just an example. Some examples are just too discouraging. They're too perfect. They're not really very helpful at all. All they do is make us feel woefully inadequate. But Jesus doesn't just set us an example. He gives us the power to run the Christian race with the same perseverance. And the writer to the Hebrews says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder of faith. Faith comes from him, but best of all, the perfecter of faith. He will bring that faith to completion." So there's one good piece of biblical advice. If you're finding it hard in some way to persevere in the Christian life, follow good examples. Remember that God's people have always persevered. And remember especially the perseverance of Christ. A second piece of advice, much more briefly, foresee Christ's commendation. Foresee Christ's commendation. It's hard to persevere if nobody knows how hard it is for you. If no one really understands your struggles, it's easy to lose heart, isn't it? If you're working away, toiling away at something with all your energy, you're at the limits of your endurance. You really don't think that you could be working any harder. And yet you feel that nobody sees, nobody understands, nobody appreciates your efforts. It's hard to keep going if you feel that nobody cares. And all it takes very often is just a word from someone of appreciation or thanks. Just to let you know that they've seen what you're doing and they know how hard it is and they see and they appreciate how hard you're working. And that just fills you with new energy, doesn't it? And enables you to keep going all the more. Well, friends, in the Christian life, the Lord Jesus sees our work. That's why we read earlier from Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Let's read these two verses again. Revelation 2, 2 and 3. Where Jesus says, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary." Other people may never appreciate what we do for the Lord. They may not even know what we're doing at all. They may even think that you're not doing anything, that you're not doing very much, that you're not trying very hard, and all the time you're running yourself into the ground. But never mind what people think or know. Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus appreciates all that you do for him. It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? It comes in each of the seven letters to the churches. I know. I know. I know. Jesus knows your circumstances. He says, "I know your deeds. I know where you live," he says, one of the churches. I know your affliction. I know your poverty. And here, especially to the church in Ephesus, he says, I know your perseverance. I know your patient endurance. Jesus sees when you're persevering. Those times that you have to force yourself to read the Bible and to pray. Those times that you have to force yourself to obey what you know God's will is and not to give in to sin again and again. Those times that it feels as if you almost have to drag yourself to worship or to the prayer meeting. And you do those things just because you know that's what the Lord Jesus wants of you. When you summon up all your courage to speak to that non-Christian friend again about the gospel who's shot you down before, or to invite them along to a church service, Jesus sees. Jesus knows. Whenever you have to keep on forgiving that difficult person who has hurt you and wronged you, when you keep on trying to love those difficult and awkward people in your life or in the church, keeping on caring for someone who's ill, keeping on trusting the Lord, even in the midst of affliction and hardship and serious illness, keeping on praying for those unconverted members of your family circle. Jesus sees. Jesus knows your patient endurance. And whenever you feel like quitting, remember that Jesus sees. Imagine hearing his commendation. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You've persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Well done, good and faithful servant. Foresee Christ's commendation. So follow good examples. Foresee Christ's commendation. And then thirdly and lastly, focus on the invisible. Focus on the invisible. Turn with me, please, back to Hebrews, this time to chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And in verse 27, we have a window into the soul of Moses. Here is someone who has persevered through great difficulties. And what was the secret? The writer explains here what it was that kept Moses persevering when times were hard. Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what kept Moses persevering when times were hard. He saw him who is invisible. There were two things before Moses, according to verse 27. There was the king's anger, Pharaoh's rage, and there was him who is invisible, the Lord. There was a visible king, and there was an invisible king. There was a man, and there was God, and Moses was looking at God. That was the secret, the writer says, to Moses' perseverance. If Moses had focused purely on what he could see with his eyes, if he had only looked at his circumstances, at the things that he could touch and taste and see, then he would never have persevered in his mission. Because from a human perspective, there was absolutely nothing to be gained by going against Pharaoh. This is the leader of the superpower of the day. Here's this powerful ruler with legions and legions of soldiers at his beck and call, who is paranoid about a slave revolt. Why on earth would anybody want to go to a man like that and antagonize him and demand the release of the entire labor force, all these Hebrew slaves? Madness, folly, utter folly, judging on a human point of view. But Moses realized that the human point of view was not the only point of view. God's will, God's purposes, God's power, those were the only things that mattered. And as soon as Moses lifted up his eyes away from Pharaoh's throne to God's throne in heaven, then the issue was settled for him. There was no contest at all. There was no question about what he was going to do. And that proper perspective enabled him to persevere, to see through his mission. And friends, that is what we need to do as well. That's the perspective that we need to have as we persevere here on earth in our mission, in the work that the Lord has given you and me to do. We've got to constantly be lifting our eyes away from this world and up to heaven, and focusing on things that are invisible. That's the whole point, isn't it, of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says again and again at the beginning and the end of the chapter, we don't lose heart because we don't focus on the things that are earthbound, the things that are temporal, the things that are to do with this world. We are focusing on what is eternal, and that is what really matters. That's why Paul says these little afflictions that we have, they're just light and momentary troubles. And then you realize what Paul's talking about when he talks about light and momentary troubles. This is a man who's been stoned 3 times, who has been beaten with the rods, who received the 39 lashes 5 times. One dose of the 39 lashes was normally enough to kill a man. Paul had it 5 times. He's been shipwrecked countless times, spent an entire night and day floating in the sea. And yet Paul says, we don't lose heart. These are just light and momentary troubles because we're focusing on what is eternal. And that's what Moses did. And that's what we need to do as well. If we just let our perspective and our horizons shrink down to this world and the things of this world, then we won't persevere. We've got to lift up our eyes and focus on what is invisible. So much of what is involved in the Christian life has to do with things that we don't yet see. We're called to do things that don't make any sense if you forget what is invisible. We've got to remember that God is on the throne, ruling over the universe. That his purposes, and not the purposes of our government and our leaders and our media celebrities, that his purposes are what are working out in the world. We've got to remember that there's a heaven and that there is a hell. We've got to remember these invisible things, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you to empower you, to enable you to do whatever God calls you to do. You think about an athlete training for a race. If all the athlete focuses on, if all he ever thinks about is the long and the punishing gym sessions and the runs out in the rain in the early morning, and the diet and the pain of training and weightlifting and the agony of the race itself, if that's all he ever thinks about, he's going to lose heart. He's not going to persevere. He's not going to be able to keep up with the training. He's not going to be able to keep going in the race. But he does keep going because he has his eyes fixed on something else, something that is at that time invisible. He has his eyes fixed on the prize. And that's what we need to do as well. Fix our eyes on things that are invisible. This life is not all there is. It's described here in Hebrews 11 as the crown of life. The crown that is life. Eternal life. with God in heaven forever. That's what we've got to be focusing on. The early Christians, apparently, they regarded it almost as a sign of apostasy if you didn't sigh in longing every day, wishing for the Lord's return, wishing for heaven. And it's not that they were too heavenly minded to be any earthly use. It's not that they had no interest in the things of this world. It's just that that's where their focus was. That's where their heart was. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. They longed for heaven. They were focused on what is invisible. And that's what we need to do as well. And yet we get so bogged down, don't we, in the things of this world. We're busy with our families, with our work, with our studies, with our sports, with our games, just with the busyness of the pace of life. And these things become more important to us than heaven and eternal realities. You know, if you take a 1p piece and hold it up to the sun, you can blot out the sun. It's not because the penny is bigger than the sun. It's obviously not. It's not because the penny is brighter than the sun. It's not because the penny is more glorious than the sun. It's just because the penny is closer than the sun. And the things of this life can so easily eclipse and blot out the things of the life to come. And it's eternal things that really matter. Take all the happiness and pleasure of this world and put it in one big heap. That's nothing compared to just 1 second of glory in heaven. Focus on what's invisible. Only a solid, real, vivid understanding of heaven will keep us going now. Remember how Richard Baxter apparently used to meditate every day on heaven. I wonder how many of us can say that we do that. Either we don't think about heaven at all, or our picture of heaven is so unattractive and horrible and sub-biblical that it's no wonder that it doesn't provide much of a motivation for us, and it's no wonder that we don't particularly want to go there. We have this clinical idea, perhaps, of streets of gold and marble, and it's all very cold and angular, or perhaps we think of floating around in clouds and strumming harps forever. I don't know about you, I think that would be horrible. I can't think of anything worse. I don't even like the harp. I don't want to play the harp forever and forever. But if that's what we think heaven's going to be, this is the thing that's meant to motivate us and drive us and keep us persevering. Well, it's no wonder if our perseverance is lacking sometimes. We need to get to grips with what the Bible says is in store for us. What is this inheritance that is waiting for us? Focus on that, and that will motivate us and keep us persevering. Well, there are many other things in Scripture, but here are three at least to think about to keep us persevering. Follow good examples. Other saints have made it. They've persevered through much worse than what you're going through and what I'm going through. And of course, especially Christ himself. Foresee Christ's commendation. He sees your perseverance. Every single act of obedience that you do for him, he sees it. The cup of cold water given in his name to one of the least of these brothers, he sees it. And remember what's invisible and anticipate the reward to come. Well, may God help us by his grace to use these helps more and more so that we can fight the fight and finish the race and keep the faith. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you uphold us by your right hand, that you fill us with that spiritual strength that we need so that we do not fall away. We thank you, Father, that you have given us so many other things to help us to keep on in the Christian life. We thank you, Father, for the good examples that you have surrounded us with, even in our own congregations, Father, ordinary men and women, but yet extraordinary men and women, because they are empowered by your Holy Spirit and enabled by your grace to keep going even in the face of severe testing and hardship and affliction. We thank you for their example. We pray that you will help us to draw comfort and encouragement from them. Help us especially to focus our hearts upon the perseverance of Christ, to remember that he persevered, that he was a man just like we are, that he was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet persevered. Father, we pray for the ability to see Christ in glory, to anticipate his commendation of us, to remember that he sees all that we do for him. We thank you, Father, that he will reward us according to our works. We pray that that would spur us on to greater efforts to keep on persevering when we're tempted to give up. And Father, please help us to focus on invisible things, not to be tricked by the devil into thinking that the things that we can see are the things that matter most. We pray that you will help us to focus our hearts and our minds in heavenly places where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Father, we pray for any here in the congregation this morning who are flagging in the Christian race, who are tempted to give up, who are finding it hard to persevere in one area or another of a Christian life. We pray, Father, that you will fill their soul with new strength and encouragement. Keep them keeping on. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.